Welcome to True Talk on WMNF 88.5 with Ahmed and Samar. Samar is joining us shortly on today's program. We're going to talk about a number of things. There's a lot happening in Palestine that we're going to get into. And also going to get to your phone calls. And actually, my co-host, Samar, is joining me now. So, again, it's True Talk on WMNF, Global Affairs Show. Sorry, we're getting started here. There are some technical difficulties. Samar and I are actually joining remotely from one another, and we're not in the station today, but the show is live, and thanks to our assistant Frank, who is with us, and he's helping produce. Samar, welcome to your program. For some reason, your audio is not on. Okay, she's while she figures that out to connect her audio. We'll be continuing to speak. So,
from one another.
Samar, are you there?
Yeah, Ahmed, can you hear me? Ahmed?
How are you?
I am very good, alhamdulillah. How have you been?
So, for some, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Can you hear me?
Okay. You couldn't, for some reason, I couldn't hear you. Samar, tell me, why haven't you been in the studio for the past three shows?
Maybe, Ahmed, I need a break from politics. Not really, because you cannot escape politics. But I had some family issues. A family member needed kind of a lot of medical attention. So,
is everything okay?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, everything is okay, but, you know, I had to attend to my family, so this is why. But inshallah, maybe next week I'm going to be there.
Is it COVID related or something else?
No. I am, you know, all my family actually got the vaccination, so we don't have that issue. No. Some health issue that we thought it's serious and needed operation, but eventually no need for operation at the moment. So sometimes, you know, going to a doctor, although my husband is a doctor himself, but oh my gosh, you really have to wait and maybe like change offices, because some doctors have like three different offices in three different cities or counties. Oh my gosh. So we were driving all over Tampa area to get to doctors and to make sure we don't need to do the operation and stuff like that. But no, it's not related to COVID, alhamdulillah.
Okay, well, thank God that everything is fine. Well, in the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about a number of things on the show. We want to turn our attention today to what's happening in Palestine. It just seems like it's, you know, regardless of what's happening, there's always something happening in Palestine with the occupation, with home demolitions, with the apartheid state. With the prisoners that are there, what's the latest that's happening this week?
Well, in the past, let's say 2 weeks, Ahmed, there was a very disturbing news that six organizations, civil society organizations, were suddenly, without any warning, were put or designated as terrorist related, or they are terrorist organizations. And this is very disturbing because you cannot exist without civil society, without organizations, non-profit organizations. For instance, one of the organizations deals with farming and farming issues, and why it's important in Palestine, because you do have the issue of settlers trying to prevent Palestinians, for instance, from cultivating their crops. crops. In the past month, the Palestinians and even in Jordan and Syria and Lebanon, it's the season of olives and olive trees and making olive oil. So settlers would go and uproot these trees or shoot at Palestinians or try to prevent them from beaching their crop. So what happens is that you have, because of nonprofit organizations that pay attention and highlight such issues, you have many civil society organizations in the state of Israel itself who would go on buses and go and accompany these Palestinian farmers in order to prevent settlers from shooting at the Palestinians. And these, for instance, Israeli activists, peace activists, would be wearing T-shirts to indicate that they are Jewish.
So, these are Jewish Israeli Jews who are there to protect Palestinians from other Israeli soldiers.
They're not soldiers.
Settlers.
The settlers. The soldiers would be standing there and protecting the settlers, not preventing them from attacking the Palestinians. So,
these settlers who are supposed to be just regular civilians. They're not police. They're not military. But they're fully armed as if they are police. They're using machine guns and have weapons with them.
They do, but the last couple of let's say skirmishes that happened, they used batons and they used rocks to throw at Palestinians. And there is a very famous Israeli American rabbi. I forgot his name. He's a tall guy, very tall guy, stands out very much, and they hurled the stones at him and injured him. So the bottom line is that, for instance, this organization really documents these events or highlights the needs of farmers, farmland, because you also have the issue of water and irrigation. And whenever the Palestinians are not allowed to use as much water as in these illegal settlements that they have built by confiscating farmlands and Palestinian lands. So you have so many issues that are not threatening really to the security of any country or the state of Israel itself, but it highlights the criminality of the state and the violation of human rights. So they designated this organization as a terrorist organization and linked to terrorism, and they linked it to some leftist PLFP something organization. There is another one, for instance, called Al-Haq, and another organization called Ad-Damir, the consciousness. So what do? They document abuse of prisoners. Because, you know, if you are a prisoner and for whatever reason you are put in prison, you murdered somebody, or you are using your right to self-defense or liberate yourself from occupation, whatever is the reason, administrative detention, who is going to highlight that there is A and B in prison on hunger strike, or there is no due process, or this case really does not fall under the jurisdiction of an occupation military court, whatever. So this information gathering is bothering the state of Israel, because you can take all these files and go to the International Criminal Court and present these cases as violation of the Geneva Convention, violation of human rights, violation of international law. That, for instance, if Iran was doing this, or let's say Syria was doing this, it will be brought to justice, to the criminal court, and there might be a decree about it, or a reprimand, or even if it's just a political non-effective rule by the International Criminal Court. So what they did was criminalize them, attach this very heavy loaded word called terrorism and terrorist, and then try to convince the Europeans, because the European countries are the funders of these nonprofit organizations. part of the funding comes from European Parliament. So the Israeli government went to the parliament, European Parliament, went to the State Department here in the US and presented evidence, and both came out and said there is no evidence. So this is like what happened a few weeks ago. Then something else happened, but I want to stop here and see.
Right, this is True Talk on WMNF 88.5. Summer, my co-host and I are speaking about Israel, the Israeli government's decision to designate Palestinian civil society organizations as terrorist organizations. They include human rights organizations like Ad-Damir and Al-Haq, which document human rights abuses and violations by Israelis and even Western-backed Palestinian Authority in the occupied West Bank. They're not only focused on Israel. And some of these same organizations, Summer, are actually receiving funding from European nations and European governments. But the Israeli defense ministry is trying to say that, oh, they secured the foreign funding from European countries using deceit and other, you know, mechanisms and forgery. It just seems like the reality is that they're simply trying to choke off any type of, that one, Palestinian civil society, and two, any groups that still exist on the ground that are documenting the apartheid, the abuse under the apartheid system.
Well, something else happened, Ahmed. On November 8, the Associated Press went with this explosive report that said, and I'm reading here, security researchers disclosed Monday that spyware from the notorious Israeli hacker for hire company NSO Group was detected on the cell phones of six Palestinian human rights activists, half affiliated with groups that Israel's defense minister controversially claimed were involved in terrorism. So a few weeks later, after this surprising designation, all of a sudden, the Associated Press does this investigative reporting, and the news now is all over that the three of the Palestinians who worked in two or three different organizations, civil society organizations, actually suspected that their phones were being spied on by the military-grade Pegasus spyware. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
Pegasus spyware.
I'm thinking sometimes that your phone is hacked by Pegasus, because when I call you, we hear this, like, some noises in the background.
Yeah, I think everyone needs to check their phones. It's very simple, especially if it's an, I'm not sure, like the kind of phone, the Apple is easier to detect or to take to some people to detect. And there is actually different organizations that help you and guide you. And the thing, it's not that you have to click on something. All they have to do is call you. And I think even if you don't answer the call, this is how they get you. But Ahmed, Pegasus, why, for instance, oh, let me back. The US government placed NSO on a blacklist. It's an Israeli tech company. It's the same company that sells Pegasus, which is what is used to spy on phones, with the Khashoggi murder.
Right.
And Mexico killing Mexican governments uses it to spy on reporters that expose corruption in the Mexican government. And these countries, like all over the world, are getting Pegasus. But why Pegasus is very important and why the US designated NSO as a blacklisted company, because it is detected that it's the one that helped Saudi Arabia assassinate Khashoggi.
So right. And I think I even read that they were using it to monitor his fiance or his wife, Hatija Khashoggi, and others. So it just seems like there should be. But I thought that the rule was that Pegasus was not and or refused to monitor Americans or American numbers, or at least while they're in America. But if you traveled outside, it's somehow fair game. So I'm not sure if that's still the case.
There is another issue, but I don't think we should go into it because it's very complicated.
then don't go into it, Samar. Why are you?
Yeah, because there some Americans who were working in the Emirates and some also high tech something, they resigned and came back to the FBI and reported on there were attempts to spy on American journalists and British journalists, and that's another story.
By the Emiratis or who?
Yeah. It was like 2 years ago, but obviously this Pegasus thing was used on three of the people who work in these nonprofit organizations, and you know, it scares them because they're married, they have kids, they have photos, they have relations.
The Pegasus can also take your photos.
Totally has access to your WhatsApp, to your Instagram account, to your Facebook, to your photos, to your private messages, to God knows what. Your phone is they can listen to you when if you have a meeting or if it's by your nightstand.
That's really very invasive. I mean, sometimes you tell people about the dangers of this, and then people say, "Well, I have nothing to hide." No, you do have this. There's something called privacy. You don't want your intimate conversations with your significant other, or your spouse, to somebody else is listening to it. This is just complete invasion of your privacy, and no one should be to have access to that or to penetrate that. And, you know, God knows how they can use that to leverage or blackmail people or to paint profiles or to put people in vulnerable positions. This is True Talk on WNF. Summer and I are speaking about, the apartheid that's happening in Israel and Israel's decision recently to designate a number of civil society organizations like human rights organizations and organizations that monitor Israeli violations and even Palestinian Authority violations of human rights. And now Israel has designated them as terrorist organizations, effectively, trying to blacklist them, that no one can provide him any funding because who can, they don't want to, governments or other foundations, they don't want to be accused of funding terrorism. If, in fact, these groups are designated terrorist organizations, why aren't they not charging the individuals and proving in court that they're actually terrorists?
Yes, that's a very good question, Ahmed. And for instance, some of these groups have offices inside Israel itself and in Jerusalem and inside the West Bank. So for them to close these offices in the West Bank, it's different than closing them, of course, in the state of Israel. In the state of Israel, there is more litigation, there is more due process to go through these things. So how can you close these organizations inside the state of Israel? Then, in the occupied West Bank, then you have to be designated by the military. So the military designated them also a few days ago that they are terrorist organizations. However, because of the outcry, and the outcry really, Ahmed, didn't come out of me and you and American Arabs and Muslims and Palestinians living here, but it came out of the larger community of civil society, because any organization, even here in the USA, if it's a nonprofit organization and it works to expose, for instance, corruption in the US or in the Pentagon or in contracts, then anybody can designate a nonprofit as a terrorist organization, and then it's going to take so much time for litigation and it will exhaust these organizations to defend themselves. So everybody was against it. So it came from every corner in the globe talking about it. So, nobody was arrested from these people, especially the three people. But then the question was, Ahmed, okay, you keep saying six were spied on. Three are from these organizations. Who are the other three? Today, Haaretz, actually, people can go to this Israeli newspaper. It comes out in English and in Hebrew, and it's called Haaretz, Haaretz. And it said, and here is again...
Why do you say Z, not Z?
I have no... because I wasn't educated in the U.S.
Oh, but you know in America, yeah, they say Z, right?
Yeah, but they can be exposed to something.
Do people ever, like, when you say, when you spell something out and say Z, do they, like, say, do they get confused?
No, because usually only you get confused.
I'm not
no, but you know what? When I used to give the letter H, you know, we say H.
Yeah, it's not.
People look
yeah.
at me and is like, "What the heck is she saying?"
How do you say?
I have H.
How do you say it? H.
A. No, in like if you learn in the Arab world English. You say yeah. H. Yeah, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H.
H.
Mm. So people really would open their eyes and look at me and I'm like, why? They don't know English. And then I found out it's H.
H, yeah, you got it. H. Okay,
oh my gosh, you're making, this you're is, making me laugh.
which is really interesting, and I don't mean to digress, but you know, when you go to the Arab world now, especially in the Gulf states, many of them, you know, they speak English, but it's like an Arab version of English or this. And it doesn't mean they understand the language, they can speak it, but the way they pronounce it and teach it, it's like an Arabized like accent. It's like you have the Southern accent, yeah. You have the Northeastern, you have the Middle yeah. Eastern. Or a Gulf States accent or Arab accent of English. And it's kind of...
It's like if an American learns French and you listen to them, oh my gosh, it has nothing to do with the French accent. Or for instance, some Arabs, they let's say the word street, S-T-R-E-E-T, they mm-hmm. will call it istrit. Because we were taught in Arabic, you pronounce every letter. Every letter. Yeah. So they think sitri.
So instead of, instead of saying street, you're saying istrit, like you're actually saying the letter S.
Or sitrit. S-T-R-E-E-T. Okay, Ahmed. People are thinking we're like high in the morning. We diverse. Let me go back and remind our listener this is True Talk on WMNF 88.5 FM and Ahmed Bidir, my co-host, was trying to make fun of my pronunciation of the newspaper Haaretz. Haaretz. Mm. So anyways, do you want me to go back to the serious news?
Yeah, we want to go back to the serious news. And I also want to talk to you about, you know, the United States trying to open its own consulate, the American consulate. In the West Bank or to serve Palestinians.
It was open in Jerusalem. It was in East Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. So it can serve the Palestinians. And now Israel is doubling down, not allowing it to open. It's been shut down during Trump. They want to reopen it. And Israel's not allowing it. And it's kind of putting, there's kind of a standoff. There's a report in CNN that says Israel doubles down against U.S. saying there's no room in Jerusalem for an American consulate for Palestinians. I mean, it's just, can they get any more, you know, apartheid than this?
Let me, Ahmed, before we go into that, because this is the million-dollar question. Why these organizations were put on a terrorist list? So some journalists said, because of this news that NSO spyware was found on their phones. And, you know, because it's NSO was put on the blacklist in the U.S. and it was used, the Pegasus was used to murder Jamal Khashoggi, this is why. But no, really no. And this is because the news was concentrating on six people, three of them work in the civil society. Who are the three? Other three? The yeah. other three are senior officials in the Palestinian Authority.
Oh.
Yeah. So who are these three? Oh, they work for the foreign ministry of... Oh. So what were they doing? They were compiling evidence to present to the International Criminal Court. So what Israel fears the most is international law, because under international law, everything it does is a violation of international law. So according to international law, the Palestinian Authority can immediately ask for the release of all Palestinian prisoners if the Palestinian Authority goes to the International Criminal Court.
On what basis?
Because it's designated as a representative, it's like a country. It's accepted in international arena. It's the representative of the Palestinian people. It speaks for the Palestinian people. It is accepted internationally, accepted in the UN.
Right. But okay. The point is, I mean, do you think that they would do that? Because a lot of people feel like the Palestinian Authority, that's supposed to represent Palestinian interests, they themselves have been compromised, and they themselves are somehow subcontractors of this Israeli apartheid, yeah, that they don't have hope in them. And in fact, you've seen situations in the past couple of years where the Palestinian Authority will go and fetch people for the Israeli government themselves, or they would arrest people who are dissenting against the Palestinian Authority. In fact, one prominent figure was killed while he was being pursued by them. Do you have hope that the Palestinian Authority, which is supposed to be the official representatives of the Palestinians, would actually take those steps?
I don't believe in the Palestinian Authority, and I believe it's one of the major obstacles in liberating Palestinians. It plays an ugly role of policing the Palestinians on behalf of Israel, saving billions of dollars that Israel used to spend in policing the Palestinians. It committed crimes against humanity. It assassinated Nizar Banat, for instance, for speaking against the corruption of the Health Ministry of the Palestinian Authority during the coronavirus, accepting expired vaccination from Israel. So no, I have zero faith in the Palestinian Authority. However,
so what's the alternative? I mean, you say you don't have faith. Who do you have faith in then?
You're a Palestinian. Okay, let me go back to the why. Why, for instance, these three people were spied on who work for the foreign ministry? Because Mahmoud Abbas would use this as a card, would use it as a leverage while negotiating with the Israeli government.
Mahmoud Abbas is the leader of the Palestinian Authority. They call it expired. Okay, clarify why.
Because there was election God knows how many years ago, and his term ended.
And there was never a re-election, but he's still staying around.
Exactly. So anyways.
But he's the president of the expired, yes, de facto president of Palestine.
So he would use this card as a leverage while he is talking with the Israelis or Americans that, hey, I am compiling a file on you guys for violating human rights, and I'm going to take it to the International Criminal Court. You need to do A, B, C, and D for me. And A, B, C, and D for me is never for the good of the larger Palestinian community. Now, you asked me a very important question. So Palestinians say, Ahmed, let's reform the Palestinian Authority. Let's reform it. Let's have elections. But how can you have elections under occupation where you have checkpoints and you have an East Jerusalem that is full of 300,000 Palestinians, and Israel prevents them from voting? So how do you count the votes in Gaza, and they are physically separated from the West Bank and separated from the rest of the occupied territories? So you can't have election to get rid of Mahmoud Abbas. You cannot reform this entity. Maybe what we need as Palestinians is just a new popular, a civil society that will say we do not want the Palestinian Authority to represent us. We wanted
An uprising?
No, but
you think the Palestinian Authority, those in power now, would just step aside and say, you know, come to place?
No, but you have another problem, is that the Palestinian Authority offers jobs for maybe 500,000 people, whether in Gaza or in the East Jerusalem or in the West Bank. So you have, okay, what's the alternative if this system of the Palestinian Authority collapses? What do you do with these people, people's livelihoods? You have a police force, for instance. Okay, you have hospitals, you have clinics, you have schools. What do you do? So
I mean, it would collapse. I mean, but the thing is, the Palestinian Authority seems to play a convenient role for Israel to be able to say, well, look, well, you know, they have their own government, they have their own leaders, but in reality, those leaders are not free to do anything. They all work within the parameters that Israel sets for them. They're not even free to travel on their own. And these are everywhere, all their movements have to be approved by the Israeli government. So in essence, they're just subcontractors of within a state. So to control the Palestinians, if there was no Palestinian Authority, if there is no PLO, if there is no Abu Mazen and his government, then Israel would be responsible to take care of all these people and to, you know, do the law and order and to be, you know, and they don't want to deal with that, because then they would have to show more of their ugly side. And that's why, you know, as you know, many people are pushing for this one state, because fake state or fake scenario that somehow there are two states side by side is really not working. And they'd say, you know, make it all one state and everybody should have their vote.
Yes, I think Oslo Agreement was one of the worst things that ever happened to the Palestinians in modern history.
Did you know that at the time it was happening? Or is that just in hindsight, you're thinking it's
no,
bad?
Because
when it was being proposed and signed, did you see it as a threat or not?
Once it was signed and published, I remember I was doing my master's at USF and there was a professor, my professor, and he said, you know, because I was a Palestinian, and I think Nahla Larian was with me in the same class then.
Oh, really? I didn't know you were in the class with Nahla.
Yeah, we were doing our master's and we were in this seminar type of class from 6 to 9. Mm-hmm. And the professor said, Samar, you and Nahla are Palestinian. You're the only people who can explain to us if this is good or bad. So he gave us this assignment of reading the whole Oslo thing. And I then realized this is a disaster, because the largest clauses and the biggest chapter, let's say, was about what they call it in Arabic, التنسيق الأمني, policing. How many police officers they're going to bring in, how they're going to train them, how much money they're going to give them. And I was thinking, why on earth would they allow armed police in the West Bank? And if you are usually caught with a knife, you will be shot at. And I realized it was they are going to replace the Israeli soldiers and be the policing of the society. So for instance, like, it was, okay, the Palestinians have to behave nicely for 5 years, then we meet, and then we think of what kind of state they can have. So, okay, what if they don't misbehave the last 24 hours at the end of the 5 years? Another thing that was really the disaster was the settlements. No hold on building settlements, no dismantling of them. They were going to create roads only for Jews. I mean, imagine.
Yeah, this is something that shocks so many Americans, that this dual road system, you know, these dual highways, one super highways for Jews only, and then one for the Arab, not the Arabs and the Palestinians. Their roads are full of checkpoints every mile, and the Israeli roads for Jews, and they have different license plates to tell who's allowed to go on what road. Those roads are, you know, like highways like you have here, uninterrupted. And we're not talking about highways within Israel. These are highways built on Palestinian land, land that does not belong to Israel, that's cutting through Palestinian villages and to connect these settlements, these colonies that were where Jews only live within the Palestinian land. It's just the idea that when you even mention it is just so it's just outrageous. That's almost unbelievable. If you're just joining us, this is True Talk on WMNF 88.5, and Summer and I are speaking about the apartheid happening in Israel, and basically on the recent news that Israel designated Palestinian civil rights, Palestinian civil society organizations as terrorist organizations, essentially to cut off any funding to them and denying them the ability to do their work, which monitor Israeli violations, human rights violations, and potential war crimes. But on the back of that, we also know that more recent news says that the backstory is because of this Israeli spyware company called NSO, which has a software called Pegasus, which is able to hack telephones and communications between people. It was being used by the Israeli government to target six people, three of them that worked for these organizations, and the other three were actually in the foreign ministry office, which was gathering information and putting a record together to take to the International Criminal Court. Now, the Palestinians definitely would know and suspect that the Israelis are monitoring them. I mean, are they silly enough to use their iPhones for sensitive information, knowing that Israel is able to spy on them whenever they want?
Ahmed, they were not using their phones to do something illegal. People have phones. So because now your email is attached to your phone, like your Gmail, so they can go to the communication of the Gmail probably through the phone. Well, there is another news item. Let me just mention, Ahmed, because it will help you. Like you're monitored from the air, you're monitored from the rooftops, you're monitored from the traffic light, you're monitored from everywhere. So you have to have a phone, you have to have a SIM card, you're under occupation, you're trapped in this geographic area. What else can they do? So the Washington Post, Ahmed, published on November 8th, and let me read again the title, Israel Escalates Surveillance of Palestinians with Facial Recognition Program in the West Bank. This is an investigation, and there is some sort of a smartphone technology called Blue Wolf. Okay, it captures photos of Palestinians' faces and matches them to a database of images so extensive that one former soldier described it as the army's secret Facebook for Palestinians. So they have competition, Ahmed, where these soldiers, who should not be according to the Oslo Agreement in the area A, B, and C, in the West Bank, Ramallah, and in Nablus, and in Jenin, okay, and in Hebron, what do they do, Ahmed, is the whole time they're taking pictures of anyone walking. And there is a competition, like if the unit, you know, the unit goes, let's say, from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m., and then they go home. Another unit comes from 5 p.m. to 12 a.m. They have a competition, how many photos each unit was able to gather. And then what happens, they display these when, you know, Palestinians to go from one area to the other, from the school to the house, from the house to the hospital, they have to go through checkpoints. So there is a camera before they even approach the checkpoint, okay? The camera would be scanning, scanning, scanning. If it's green, they will let them pass. If it's yellow, they will give them hell. If it's red, they will shoot them. So this is such an invasion of walking in the street, okay?
Right.
You're a guy is trying to meet a girl, okay, behind her parents.
What guy is trying to meet what girl?
I'm saying, like, you're a human being. You're going to meet a fiancé.
Oh.
Okay. You're going to get married.
That
you're
sounds nice.
Can you believe it? You can't have a normal life, normal existence. If they go to the Washington Post, really, if you go to the website of Washington Post and click on November 8th and read and look at the pictures. There are like rocks on the floor. You know how these villages, you have the asphalt and then there are like some shrubs and
asphalt, pieces just, of... For those that are not familiar, I guess, do they call it asphalt here? It's pavement, I guess. Pavement.
No, where you drive the car on.
Yeah.
What do they call it? The street. Yeah. It's.
Yeah.
So anyways, Ahmed, there are like pieces of rocks on the, you know, how we have shrubs. These are like towns, villages on hilltops. They have cameras inside these rocks. So wherever you go, you are being monitored. So what do you expect people to do? I really urge people to go and see the pictures that the Washington Post did. And the name of the investigation is called Israel Escalates Surveillance of Palestinians with Facial Recognition Program in the West Bank. So what happens, Ahmed, is that the Palestinians are the guinea pigs of these technical
these tools.
Spy tools.
Yeah.
So they use them on the Palestinians and then they go and sell them whenever there is a technical
or not much different than the weapons that they also build and test them on Palestinians, whether it's a phosphorus bombs or other weapons that have been introduced in these invasions of Gaza and other areas or in Lebanon. And then I guess they're able to test them in real theaters and then show their proof of concept that they work and sell them to different countries.
So you have now a program that they're probably selling calling Blue Wolf. And Blue Wolf has been tested on the Palestinians where you can be designated, you know, like a social racial profiling. It's the same idea of racial profiling. So when people are walking in New York, now you can use the Blue Wolf and use it for God knows why reason, or any country can use it to abuse its own population. So these things are being tested on the Palestinians and the, I sent you some link. Do you want to play part of it?
Oh, you sent it to my email. That's right.
Yeah. Do you want to play?
Do you think the Israelis intercepted it?
Probably.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, you know how many times people try to have this show on True Talk. I mean,
I always know somebody's trying to hack my stuff when I get those notifications saying, here's the link to reset your password.
I get like, you just won $50 from this. For a whole week, my husband and I, they would send me Ma'moon, because they have no idea Ma'moon is a guy's name. Mm-hmm. Hey, Ma'moon, you won with AT&T. And they would send my husband, Samar, you just won $50 from AT&T. And I told my husband, please don't click on anything.
Can you resend that to me on email, email directly?
I can play it from here, I think. Okay. Can I try?
Sure.
So this is like an
experiment. Yeah. If you're just joining us, this is Truth Talk on WMNF. Summer and I are speaking about what's happening in Israel and Palestine, the occupation of Palestinians, and the latest news that Israel has designated several civil society organizations as terrorist organizations, which has caused an outcry, and a lot of people are suspecting they've designated them so they can cut off funding to these organizations that are doing the essential work of monitoring human rights violations as well as war crimes. And this is one effective way to cut off funding. Most of the organizations are getting their funds from European countries. Yeah, do you have your package ready to play?
Yeah, because this lady is explaining why they put these NGOs on terror list.
2011, our research showed that over $250 million has been transferred by the EU and European governments.
The audio is a little low. Are you playing it correctly?
Yeah, let me send it to you. But one of the other news items that was related to this case, because some people are trying to twist it, Ahmed, and say, oh, the only reason these organizations were put on this list is because, you know, the spyware thing was exposed. But really, no, it's because one of the people who can really be facing international criminal court is the Minister of Defense himself and at least 100 other people in the Israeli government and in the military that can be brought to justice. So this is what these organizations were doing. They were documenting abuse that was going on, but it's going on really in front of the cameras. It's not like something that is secret or, I mean, for instance, you have this organization, B'Tselem, that the whole time is documenting the demolishing of homes. So it's not that these organizations were getting funding from Europe to expose something secretive. It's in front of cameras. It's in front of every iPhone. Let me send it to you, Ahmed.
But they come with a different legitimacy when it's an actual organization.
Because there is, like, you have to document things, you have to, you know, you have to be professional. And trust me, the European Union is not very fond of, you know, liberating the Palestinians or any of that. They're just, I mean, they would be very careful where their money is going. They don't want to be involved with upsetting the state of Israel or doing something illegal.
Okay, let me get this package from you and we'll play it. And
okay, you want me to send
it? In the meantime, I'm going to play this. I'm going to play a short song for you. Let me know if you recognize it.
We'll be right back. انا دم فلسطيني
على ارض تلاقيني انا اهلي انا فيهم
انا دم فلسطيني 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 انا دم فلسطيني على عهدي على ديني.
Okay, Summer.
That's a popular Palestinian song. Ana dami Palestini, my blood is Palestinian.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't constitute any type of violation.
No,
it's again, like now if you say you're Palestinian, they're trying to equate it with being terrorist. It's just ridiculous.
No, when you say dami Palestini is because, for instance, I was born in Kuwait and I lived in Kuwait and Lebanon and Jordan. In Saudi Arabia, and I have lived most of my life in the US. So what am I? So you say ana dami Falastini, you know, my blood, like what the what runs in my blood is Palestine. Like this is, so it's an Arabic expression, a way of explaining things.
That you sent me, I'm just going to play a little bit of it, and then because we have to we're wrapping up our show. Here it is.
You have it on mute, Ahmed.
11, our research shows that over $250 million has been transferred by the EU and European governments to 8 PFLP-connected NGOs. That's just, if you pause for a second, that's a lot of money. But money is, to my mind, almost secondary.
Yeah, I guess the original audio is not that great.
Oh, yeah, I can
more
hear it.
Dangerous. Thing is the platform that they are being given, access to decision makers, access to get a seat around a table in the parliaments around Europe and the world, where their reports are being quoted and used as references to draw policies and legislate and decide how the EU and other European governments will...
Can you believe how racist this is? Like, why would a Palestinian have a seat at a parliament? Why would a Palestinian have access to people in power? This is extremely
racist. That would be a threat. That would be a threat to the Israeli. I mean, yeah, it's not only racist, but it would pose a threat to the Israeli state the way that they want it. Because, you know, despite the rhetoric of previous rhetoric that they want to have two states side by side, I don't believe that the Israeli government's ever intended to have a real viable Palestinian state next to them. I think it's always been a plan to have an Israeli or Jewish only state and no place for Palestinians. And that's just the way it is. The only difference now, you have the current prime minister actually saying that he doesn't want it. He doesn't believe in the two state system. He believes in one state, but it's not a one state for everyone. It's one state just for Jews, which is completely unacceptable, obviously.
Yes, so I think it came out very bluntly. They don't want us to have any international standing, not to communicate with anybody who can pay attention to the abuse, the human rights abuse, the civil rights abuse, the abuse of international law that is going on. But this is impossible to control, Ahmed, with this technology that we have, because any Gazan is a reporter. Any Gazan can take a picture of his demolished house. Any Palestinian can take a picture of settlers throwing stones at them. So how can they silence all this? They cannot. And the way South Africans were liberated, the same thing is going to happen to the Palestinians. The colonization cannot continue. It's not comparable and compatible with the 21st century. You cannot have a colonial apartheid system ruling over a people, a population that soon is going to be majority. The majority is going to be Palestinians, whether Christian or Muslim. Plus, you have so many young Israelis who refuse to serve in the army and refuse to participate in this oppression. I think we're getting close to...
Yeah, we're almost... we have like 10, like 30 seconds left, so we're out of time. Thank you for joining us. This is True Talk on WMNF. Summer and I will be here next Thursday, same time, same place, and... we look forward to it. Actually, Summer, you may be here alone because I'm traveling that day. Sorry to tell you live on the air.
Okay. Where are you going?
NPR News is next, and after that, more coverage from WMNF. Frank?
Yes, this is WMNF Tampa. Stay tuned for NPR News.